You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's happening, friends? Welcome into First Take on this wonderful Monday morning. We are squatted up. I'm Christine Williamson, Courtney Cronin, Freddie Coleman, and PK Subban joining me today. How are you guys today?
Great.
Happy
Ready
Monday.
To go.
Smiling
Fantastic.
Faces.
That's right.
It's a great Monday. Yeah. We'll get to some hockey very shortly. Congrats to the Avs. But we start with the association because, well, Kyrie Irving, he has until Wednesday to decide whether or not he will opt into the final year of his 4-year max contract. He signed with Brooklyn in 2019. That, of course, is when he and KD chose to join the Nets as free agents. If he does, he will be an unrestricted free agent in July 2023. If he opts out, he will be an unrestricted free agent next month, when he could either agree to a new deal with the Nets or seek one elsewhere. KD said the following on his podcast regarding Kyrie's decision. Basketball is obviously the most important thing, but I try not to let that get in the way of somebody else's personal decision. Like I said, whatever happens, the friendship will still be there. Freddie, I'm going to start with you on that one. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Should KD feel betrayed by Kyrie?
No, he shouldn't feel betrayed because here's why. Kevin Durant knew what he got himself into when it comes to Kyrie Irving. We can't say that, hey, Kevin, here's a new book, and you didn't know what the book said when it comes to Kyrie Irving. He knew exactly what he was going to sign up with and who he was going to sign up with, and that's why he let the Valhalla, that was the Golden State Warriors, because he wanted to have that more of a friendship with somebody that he had more in common with than he had the Golden State Warriors, although he won 2 championships. I don't know how much more in common you can have when you're part of that organization. So I'm not going to say that Kevin Durant should feel betrayed by Kyrie Irving, because he had to have known the kind of personality and the kind of friendship that he wanted from Kyrie Irving. So if anybody starts to say, hey, poor Kevin Durant, no. They're grown men that made a grown man decision. Kevin Durant made a grown man decision. So, no, feeling betrayed by Kyrie Irving when you knew exactly what kind of person and personality that you're going to get involved with to try to win a championship. Betrayed? You feel betrayed if somebody says you can't go to the mall Sunday afternoon, they promise you money. That's when you feel betrayed as a kid. But as you're Kevin Durant feeling betrayed when you knew exactly who you were getting involved with, yeah, I'm not buying that he should feel betrayed by this whole thing.
No, he should absolutely feel betrayed. This is somebody who coaxed him to come to Brooklyn, Freddie, to win a championship. And last I checked, this is a team that got bounced from the first round of the playoffs this year in large part because of everything that transpired up until the postseason. Kyrie Irving deciding that he wanted to be a part-time player, not abiding by the vaccine mandate, all of that. And now all of a sudden, if you're not going to get your way and get the big max deal that you want, using Kevin Durant as leverage, mind you, I would be a little upset about that if I was KD. You're going to go call your ex in LeBron James here and put him on a list of 6 teams that, oh, if things don't work out with Brooklyn, I want to go and play with LeBron James again. I would feel spurned if I'm Kevin Durant. And I know that he said it's a basketball decision and that he understands that Kyrie has to do what he has to do for himself. But Kevin Durant's also smart enough to know that he's the linchpin in this whole thing, that in order for Kyrie to get what he wants, he needs KD in all of this because the Brooklyn Nets want to keep Kevin Durant happy. So I would feel some type of way if I'm Kevin Durant right now, given the way that this thing is playing out with Kyrie Irving and all that is going on behind the scenes and potentially what might happen if he does leave the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, I think that in Brooklyn, when it comes to Kyrie Irving, this, I don't think it's going to be too personal. I think that this is about basketball. Kyrie wants to be a max player because he has max player talent. You know, he wants to be paid the way he should be played. Now, you know, if I'm a player and, you know, I'm not playing enough games, you know, I understand that I may not get the contract that I'm going to get. He may feel differently about why he didn't play those games. And, you know, but Brooklyn's got to put a winning team on the court. When you have Kevin Durant as a player, you can't waste time wondering about who's going to play and who's not going to play. If you're going to pay somebody max money, you got to make sure that they're on the court. And that's not a slight on Kyrie at all. That just means that we got to win here in Brooklyn. We have one of the best players in our generation. We got to win. So Brooklyn's got to put the best team together. As far as Kyrie goes, he's got to do what's best for him personally, right? Mm-hmm. So he's got to put himself in the best position for his career, his family, and to play basketball. And if that's not in Brooklyn, then he's got to move forward. And Kevin Durant understands that.
Yeah, here's the deal. I'm going to go back, Courtney, what you said about coaxing somebody. How are you allowed somebody to coax you? They can give advice. And you're a grown person where you can say to yourself, okay, I'm going to follow along with it. When you use the word coax, you make it seem as if you're trying to give Kyrie what he wants. Because Kyrie wants to be an alpha male. But no one's ever going to trust that guy to be an alpha male. I'm not following that guy into the abyss of Kyrie-dom when it comes to him. So if you're Kevin Durant, if you allow Kyrie Irving to use your word, not saying it's a bad word, but to use your word, coax him into doing that, then what does that say about Kevin Durant? That all of a sudden you're going to follow along with somebody along the lines of Kyrie Irving based on previous events with what went wrong in Boston and then the end in Cleveland. We would not be talking about Kyrie Irving being a world champion if Draymond Green didn't get kicked out for game 5 of that series or LeBron did not have that chase down block of Andre Iguodala in game 7. So that's who Kevin Durant is going to be coaxed by when it comes to Kyrie Irving. I would find a different box to have somebody coax me from that standpoint because too much of that, in my opinion, has gone on with Kevin Durant being coaxed by situations or by people to align his line of thinking or where his future should be in the NBA.
Well, the two of them had the same plan, the same vision to go win a championship together in Brooklyn. It was their first chance that they were going to have to do something together. They're building their own thing. So Kevin Durant signed on to that. I can't fault Kevin Durant for not knowing how a global pandemic was going to play out with his teammate and his decision to be a part-time player here. I can't fault Kevin Durant for Kyrie Irving in the part-time nature just of his mind. Does he want to be all in on basketball? Does he not want to be all in on basketball? He gave him a chance. And when he is when he is at his best, Freddie, you know this. He's one of the best shooters in the NBA, best pure scorers,
there's no
dominant
doubt.
Players on the floor. So I'm Kevin Durant. I'm thinking that's the version I'm going to get. I trusted you to be this person.
You should have never trusted Kyrie Irving to begin with.
And you haven't shown up for me.
But he deserves better. Like, Kevin Durant deserves better than what he's gotten in Brooklyn. I think everybody can agree with that. When you look at his numbers and how he performed when Kyrie was out of the lineup, when James Harden wasn't playing, he deserves better than this. And I think it's just really unfair that people are critical of him and his legacy over the time. Like, listen, what he did in Golden State, he stepped up. He carried that team for that time that he was there.
No doubt.
They needed him in that time. So for people to be taking slights at his legacy and saying that he needs to go and lead a team, he gave Kyrie the opportunity going to Brooklyn. He gave James Harden the opportunity to win a championship, and he stepped up and he did his thing. Kevin Durant isn't the reason why there isn't a championship in Brooklyn.
I agree.
I don't think that's the guy to blame.
Right.
So, you know, everyone's got to take a step back. I'm interested to see what Kevin Durant does next. I'm really interested about him, not anybody else. Does he decide to stay in Brooklyn and say, I'm going to put my trust in the team, whether we have Kyrie or not, that they're going to surround me with players to give me an opportunity to win a championship? I think he deserves better than what he's been given.
That's what I want to see.
So we all want to see that, but PK, to your point, Kevin Durant can't worry about being coached by other people. Kevin Durant's got to coach Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
And that's why when he went on that podcast, I thought that was the smartest thing he could have said by saying, you know what? I'm not getting in the way of anybody's money. I'm not getting involved this whole Brooklyn Nets over here and Kyrie over there. I'm not about to play mediator between this whole potential divorce involving Kyrie and the Brooklyn Nets. That was the smartest thing he could have said, PK, Christine, and Courtney, by saying, you know what? Y'all going to do you, just like Wanda Sykes said, I'm going to do me. That's what I'm going to do. He took the heavy D philosophy. I got my own thing. And he did the bun diddly D by putting that out there on that podcast.
He doesn't have to, though. He shouldn't have to. He's a superstar.
PK, you're right. He shouldn't have to. But this is the situation. Because you know this professional athlete. Sometimes you have, like, two guys that are bickering. And somebody say, PK, you're the captain of this team. You're the leader of this team. You need to get involved. And say, well, I know the principles. There's only so much I can do. These two have got to figure it out themselves. That's what Kevin Durant said, saying, you know what? I got to worry about me, but you guys are doing the same thing. Brooklyn, you're worrying about you. Kyrie, you're worrying about you. I'm going to do the same thing.
He's
the smart thing. He did not get in the middle of that.
He doesn't necessarily need to get in between the franchise and the player. Why not just pull the player aside? Have these sort of conversations to talk about how things went down, to be like, hey, why don't we have a realistic look in the mirror? Because it wasn't my fault. I did miss 21 games in a stretch because of a knee injury. And we lost a lot of games. And we were the one seed. And then we went all the way to the play-in tournament because I didn't have you as my running mate there to back me up when I wasn't right. So I wouldn't fault Kevin Durant at all. If behind the scenes, like publicly, I got to credit him because it takes a better person than me not to throw somebody under the bus like that when I feel like I'm getting played.
Okay.
Courtney, publicly. But I just, you know, I can't fault Kevin Durant for what he said, like you said, about not messing with another man's money. That's fine. Go get your mans. Tell it, like, put him in line, because who else is going
to
do it?
But it's easy to say when that guy's not Kyrie Irving.
Hold up.
Well, LeBron James is going to do it, Freddie, if he ends up going to L.A. Because you know LeBron's not playing like that.
Yeah, but it's also business, too. You got to remember this. Outside of the players, as much as the superstars have a lot of power in basketball, you know, there's still a business that's being run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you have one of your star players that's off the court for that long, regardless of what the reason is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't bode well for your fan base when people come to the arena and Kyrie's not on the court for whatever reason, right? So that stuff kind of supersedes Kevin Durant and what his role is for Brooklyn. He can't really get involved in that because that's the business. He doesn't own the Brooklyn Nets, right? He doesn't make those decisions as far as whether Kyrie decides to play or not. That's not on him.
Yeah.
He has to show up and do his job, and he's done that consistently. So I think he's doing the right thing by taking a step back and saying, hey, listen, the organization needs to make the best decision for us as a team moving forward. I'm putting my trust in them that they're going to do that. If there's an impasse where I can now help out and say, hey, Kyrie wants to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's figure out something to make it happen. Great. I'll do that.
Right.
But it doesn't seem that they're that close right now.
Yeah.
It seems that they're a little further apart, and I think he's doing the right thing.
And real quick, maybe you're not comfortable doing that if you're Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Because nothing against Kevin Durant. Some guys don't want to be leaders. How many times we heard from Kevin Durant that he just wants to play ball? And I get it. Because that's his comfort space. That's where he wants to be. If he doesn't feel comfortable going past that line and say, yeah, hey, Kyrie, you know, they really want to work it out. Hey, Brooklyn Nets, you know, Kyrie really wants to work it out. If he doesn't feel comfortable doing that, then he's not going to do it. And the best thing, if you don't feel comfortable doing something, you want to make things more uncomfortable by putting yourself in a situation where you don't want to be in and you're not comfortable doing that.
He doesn't need to play contract negotiator, but I don't think it would hurt anybody if he goes to Kyrie Irving and says, look, do you really think you're in the max deal? Like, why not take whatever they're offering you this year, ball out, earn your money with me, let's go win a championship, and then next year or the year after that, then you get your max deal. You know, you're only as good as the people in your corner who can, you know, give you the real, Freddie. And that's something that I feel like Kyrie Irving's missing out on right now.
He's always missed out on the real. That's the problem here.
I got to agree with what you're saying, but then there's also the other side of it as an athlete. Where, man, you only get so many opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Kyrie Irving is that good.
Right.
Exactly.
He is that good.
Exactly.
He is a max player
There's no doubt.
On the court.
Right, that's true.
So, is he wrong for demanding it?
No. I would never say someone's wrong for demanding money, PK and Courtney and Christine, but here's the deal if you're Kyrie Irving. If you've already sold the bill of goods to Kevin Durant and all of a sudden you realize that I don't want to be a part of this anymore, then if you can't bang on Kevin Durant for doing his own thing when Kyrie Irving has done this his entire career in the NBA.
I do think it's very interesting, too. I don't know if you guys heard Logan Murdoch over at The Ringer did say that KD actually feels like the Nets didn't handle the situation properly. So it's very interesting conversation, even though he didn't actually say it. He didn't put a quote out there, but there were reports. Okay, so if he does opt out, Kyrie Irving has a wish list down to six teams per Woj, with the Clippers having the best current odds to win the 2023 NBA Finals out of the bunch. The Knicks are the biggest long shot out of the group, with the rest sitting at 16-1. The addition of Kyrie would certainly increase their odds. I'm going to start with you on this one, Courtney. Kyrie throwing out a lot of teams for himself. What do you think the best fit for Kyrie is?
I think the best fit is for him to stay in Brooklyn. To take the, if it's a short-term deal, heavily loaded with incentives. I mean, pay the guy $50 million for one season. Don't give him the long-term security of this multi-year extension. He's worth, if you were to pay him $50 million for 1 year, he'd be worth every single penny of that. I just wouldn't trust it on more than a one-year basis from right now. So this team, these two, had 247 games together. They've played in 58 together. Their entire time together. Prove it. Prove that you are one of the best teams in the East, your chances right now, the East is only going to get harder. So I think for Kyrie Irving to prove that he is that guy, a team that we don't have even seen how good they can be if there's going to be a trio with them and Ben Simmons as well. Like, remember, he is still on the roster.
Who? I'm sorry. That's cute. Did I say out loud? Bad Freddie.
But, I mean, Seth Curry is there. You've got shooters. You've got wing players. Like, this team can be really, really good. And also, he has $36.5 million reasons, Christine, to want to stay with the Brooklyn Nets. He goes to the Los Angeles Lakers. He's taking a massive pay cut. That's for true. Somebody who lost out on $17 million last season for not playing in games when he was not eligible to play because he did not have the vaccine. I know athletes, like, you know, I'm not going to talk about anybody else's money, but I personally, $36.5 million reasons is all I would need to opt into my deal with the Brooklyn Nets.
I'm saying Brooklyn.
Okay.
I'm saying Brooklyn. Just, I'm a little bit biased. You know, I got the opportunity to move into the city this year and spend some time. You know, I've had an opportunity to get to know KD over the past couple of years. Ben Simmons. I've never met Kyrie, but I'm a huge fan.
Okay.
I just think they haven't spent enough time together on the court yet, and I'd like to see them have another opportunity to do that. You know, I like the rivalry between the Knicks and Brooklyn. I love seeing that. I just think they need a little bit more time to see what's up. And I hope ownership figures out a way to make this work for Kyrie. And I hope Kyrie makes it work as well. I want to see him with KD. I think that's the right duo with the addition of Ben Simmons, who's going to be coming back playing hungry basketball. Obviously, a lot to prove. Love, shout out to Ben. I love Ben. I hope he stays in Brooklyn.
Okay.
That's for me.
Okay. Number one, welcome to my hometown of Brooklyn. BK all day, so welcome.
Let's go.
That BK all day. To me, and you guys are – in terms of being with Brooklyn, that's where he should stay. I'm with you on that one. But a better fit for him, if Kyrie's going to exercise a sign and trade, Miami Heat would be perfect. Because you got Jimmy Butler, you got that culture, you got an organization going to say, look, we know how seductive your talent is. You are a bucket getter. In the golden age of point guards, where you got all these meat meeps around, and Kyrie Irving, even though he's a little older, is still one of those meat meeps that can get things done. You pair him with an organization like that, and Jimmy Butler, and Bam Adebayo, they got pieces that they can trade, and you can match up. Where Kyrie gets his money, he gets that extension. He's in Miami, and now he's around an organization that says, hey, look, you get a chance, you win a championship here, you add to your legacy. You add to what people have thought about. You can discontinue that if you're Kyrie Irving. So, yeah, you're right, Courtney. 36.9 million reasons? Yeah, I want to stay somewhere too. But if he's going to opt out, and I get the sense that his feelings may be hurt enough that he does not feel the loyalty from the Brooklyn Nets organization, that a sign and trade with the Miami Heat would be a better fit than staying in Brooklyn trying to smooth over hurt feelings.
The one thing that's interesting about all six of these teams, guys, is that for the sign and trade to happen, the Nets are going to have to facilitate that. So it's basically like asking the people you just spurned, mm-hmm. please help me get somewhere
right,
else
exactly.
and also like financially but, yeah. maneuver this, because none of those six teams have great salary cap mm-hmm. situations right now. So isn't that kind of rich for Kyrie Irving to put a list of those six teams? Also, I laughed when I saw the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, come on.
It would love to see some like weird world where James Harden ends back up on the Nets. But
yeah.
I like Rubik's Cubes. I like a challenge. So that's what that would end up being. But it's going to be really difficult for the Nets if he ends up like not opting in to this contract on Wednesday at the deadline and trying to get him where he wants to go. I don't know that I'd put him on any of those six teams. I might send him somewhere else.
The reason I love when stuff like this happens is because people get to talking on social media. That's what everybody does. They go on Instagram, all that stuff. There is a guy that wants KD to pair up with him, and that would be one Dame Dalla. So Damian Lillard posted this Photoshop picture of himself Kevin Durant on his Instagram story on Saturday.
Excellent.
But then he deleted it. You know, Instagram stories are 24 hours. He deleted it before that 24 hours was up. It was gone by Saturday night.
We had someone tracking that. That's nice.
I think it's Christine.
How long has this been up here? Hold on. So there were reports that KD was, quote, distancing himself from the franchise amidst all the things that were happening with Kyrie. So who knows how much distance. Would you understand if KD left the Nets? Courtney, I'll start with you.
Yes. I don't want him to, because I don't want to give anybody, any of the bus chaser people, anybody who says ring chasing, bus riding, whatever it was, I don't want to give those people any more fodder. But I can understand it from Kevin Durant's perspective of thinking, if I'm not in a good spot with this organization right now, which some things have been reported that mm-hmm. he and the Nets aren't on great terms, how can I trust that they're going to bring me a running mate that I can be successful with going forward. I'm 34 years old this season. Yep. I had a knee injury that cost me 21 games this year. I had an Achilles injury that took me an entire season to come back from a few years ago. He's not getting any younger. So if you see a window, and if it is indeed Portland, because when you talk about someone who needs a fresh start, my goodness, Damian Lillard could certainly use that, and I can't see anywhere else for Dame to go and get that outside of whether they revamp everything in Portland and bring Kevin Durant out there. I don't want to see him go somewhere, PK, but I really could see – I couldn't fault him for doing it if he does.
I'd love to sit and talk to KD about where his head's at from here until the end of his career, because maybe it's not just about winning a championship for him. Maybe it's just – about how he wins a championship, you know? Maybe that's the target, because he's won rings. He's got his rings, he's got his money, he's got his pedigree as a championship player and one of the best players of all time. What could be his reason for leaving and going somewhere else? I don't know. You have to ask him that. But I think that, you know, he can go to any other team. He'll be a contending player on a contending team, win a championship possibly. But I think for him, man, he loves the game of basketball. That's the one thing I learned about Kevin Durant watching him play this year, not having the guys around him that he should have around him to win a championship, but watching him go out there and just ball and just play and wanting to dominate and be the difference maker. And you could see he still has that hunger. So to think about him going to another place to win a championship, yeah, that's possible, but it depends on where his head's at and what his goals are. Is my number one goal just to win a championship? Or is it to be on a team where I'm the guy driving the bus, like everybody says, and I want to win like that? Or do I just want to play basketball and play with guys that want to win and be a part of something special? I don't know.
Yeah.
But he's going to have that choice. That's the luxury of being Kevin Durant.
I'm going to go back to the word that Courtney used earlier called coax.
Oh, you really am. I said it a few times.
It's one syllable, four letters. It said so much from that standpoint, sure, because it is true that you have to coax your mind what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And the reason I think Kevin Durant should stay in Brooklyn, are you going to trust the friendship that you have with Kyrie Irving over an organization that has sold its soul for you? That's the key question as far as I'm concerned with Kevin Durant. You can be friends with people and still be on different teams and have a different idea how to go for a championship. If Kyrie Irving is going to opt out of his contract, do a sign and trade, he's basically told you, Kevin Durant, I'm choosing myself over you. And Kevin Durant's going to have to be good with that, whether he wants to or not. So the reason that he's with Brooklyn is because of the friendship. He wanted to have more of a friendlier type player with him than he felt he was not getting with the Golden State Warriors, despite winning two championships, like PK said with
he
that basketball team.
He wanted to start his own thing, too.
That's what he had a chance to do that in Oklahoma City, and he decided to go to the Golden State Warriors. So apparently he thought having my own team is a lot better than being part of the Guardians of the Galaxy, went to the Golden State Warriors. So if you're going to do this now and you say, okay, I'm going to align myself with Kyrie Irving, but Kyrie Irving already has a different mindset, then why are you chasing him around to go to a different team? At that point, you have a chance to do that in Brooklyn. You have to have more trust in the organization. Whatever you guys got to talk about in terms of what Brooklyn wants to do in the future with you as a centerpiece of it, then you have to have that conversation if Kyrie Irving decides to leave. And if that's going to be the case, you're right. They're not far away. They won't have a Kyrie Irving, but that's not to say they're going to be a worse basketball team. Collectively, they may be a better basketball team because that kind of distraction is no longer over this franchise. If you're Kevin Durant, you don't have to answer questions. When's Kyrie coming back? When's Kyrie coming back? You don't have to worry about that. This becomes your basketball team. You can align it any way you want because you have an organization that's going to do that, not just on the court, but also from a mental standpoint to make sure everything is copacetic when it comes to Kevin Durant.
Starting over is tough. And do you want to be starting over every couple of years if right. you're Kevin Durant? I mean, this has kind of become a common theme for him. I don't want to see the Brooklyn Nets enter a rebuild because it feels like for the last decade they've been trying to get out of a rebuild, and it feels like we're almost on the cusp of that happening. So if Kyrie Irving leaves, Kevin Durant should stay, build a team with Ben Simmons, get other young core players in there over the next few years, build something that you can be proud of and say, hey, I didn't leave. I won a championship here in spite of Kyrie Irving, the guy that I came to play here with, in spite of him leaving and going on to do whatever he's going to do, because he's somebody else's problem at that point if he doesn't stay.
Yep.
And you brought this up, like, you know, history has repeated itself at a lot of Kyrie Irving's stops. Who's to say that this won't happen if he ends up going to the Los Angeles Lakers
or
to the Los Angeles Clippers, somewhere else?
It's
so
gonna happen.
That's no longer Kevin Durant's problem at that point. As to PK's, to what PK said, he can just focus on the basketball if that's really what he wants to do.
KD don't care. KD don't care, man. Like, everybody's got to make their decision. He made his decision to leave Golden State, mm-hmm. right? Like, listen to me. Mm-hmm. His decision, why did he go to Golden State in the first place? KD wants to be where he's wanted, right?
Exactly.
Those guys wanted him there because they needed him there to win. You know, people can't forget that. People think about, oh, he went to Golden State and won a championship. No, they wanted him there. They needed him there.
Right. They all came
they
after him.
They all so came he
wants
after him.
To, exactly. Mm-hmm. He wants to be where he's needed. I don't think there's going to be any type of emotional feeling with KD if Kyrie leaves or stays. He wants people that play with him to want to play with him, that believe that they can win with him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what drives him, right? That's what gives mm-hmm. him that feeling that I want to play, I want to compete. These guys need me, and I need to show up for these guys. So, you know, whether he stays in Brooklyn or decides to go somewhere else, I'm a KD fan. He's going to land on his feet, and he's going to have another opportunity to win a championship. It's just a matter of where he's going to do that. And if I'm talking to KD, I'm telling him, don't worry about people talking about
Absolutely.
Bus driving
yep.
and Leave jumping on buses and bus stops. Stops and airplanes.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear about it. Go and play basketball. You're one of the best players of all time. Go win where you want to win. Go play. Go have fun.
But
that's it.
But PK, you know, in 21st century entertainment and sports, that's not what happens. The minute somebody claps at somebody, especially an old head like Charles Barkley, the young heads are going to give it back to him. And I don't blame KD. I wouldn't want somebody calling me that either if I'm Kevin Durant.
And you know he reads and hears everything, right?
Which is fine. And that's his right to do that. But now, Don't talk about it, be about it, if you're Kevin Durant, no matter what decision you're going to make.
Right, and if he moves around, I mean, we've seen him move, like you were saying, Courtney, we've seen him move so much. The whole point is we're trying to see if Kevin Durant can actually do it on his own.
Yeah.
So it'd be great if he stayed in Brooklyn. All right, let's do that hockey. The Colorado Avalanche won their first Stanley Cup since 2001 with a Game 6 comeback to dethrone the two-time defending champion Tampa Bay Lightning, who could have been the NHL's first three-peat champion since the early 1980s. The 2-1 victory came courtesy of a goal and an assist from Nathan MacKinnon. It's the franchise's third championship. So, PK, I'm obviously going to start with you on this one. Denver is the 19th largest market in the country. Do you feel like it's a good thing for the NHL to have a small market, a relatively small market team, win the championship?
Well, I think it's amazing for the league. A couple reasons. First of all, personally, I want to congratulate Josh and Stan Kroenke, the ownership group there. What a year it's been for the Kroenke
yeah.
family, you know,
yeah.
with the Rams winning and then them winning, obviously, now. But, you know, I've had a relationship with Josh Kroenke. I've met him a few times. And I remember when this team was starting out, when they were starting to build this team, this team was in last place 5 years ago, you know, and then they were in last place before. I don't know if anybody watched Eric Johnson's interview after
mm-hmm.
the game, but he's been there for a very, very long time. I think he just finished his 14th season, and this is his cup. Now, this is a team that's been building this for a long time, and they've done it the right way. Joe Sakic, you got to give the organization credit, right down to the coaching staff and Bedzy, Mr. Bednar. He's done a great job with this team, and we beat him. When I was in Nashville, we beat them out of the playoffs, and I remember shaking their hands. You know, they were demoralized. Then they went to the draft. They added free agents to really insulate their young core group that they have. And then they got some luck in the draft with a guy like Cale Makar. And, you know, this guy's all world. You talk about Calder Trophy, Norris Trophy, Conn Smythe, Stanley Cup. I mean, all at the age before he's even 24. He's only 23 years old. So you need some special players in that mix. But this is great for the game. It's great for the league. Obviously, the market stuff, everybody's going to talk about that. But I love seeing teams that have earned it. And these guys have earned it, no doubt. It's great for the league. I think it's great for the NHL.
Last four teams who have won a Stanley Cup have all come from small markets.
Yep.
Considerably. Mm-hmm. Denver, the Tampa Bay Lightning the last 2 years, and then St. Louis.
Gary Bettman effect.
And I remember the days of...
well done. Point.
The days of big market teams, like where you've got the Kings winning, you've got Pittsburgh winning, you've got Chicago winning, and that's great for the game, but I like seeing it done at this level. I really do.
Salary cap, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It gives everybody a chance. And I think NHL right now is on the up and up. You know, I'm very proud to play in the NHL and seeing where the game's going. Obviously, it's great now that we're on ABC and ESPN and we're getting that exposure, but it's the right time for the game. The way the game's being marketed, it's not just about teams anymore. Now we're starting to market the superstars and getting them out there. And we see players like Connor McDavid, Nathan MacKinnon now winning his first Stanley Cup, Cale Makar, who's now, you know, well on his way to be a Hall of Famer if he continues on this path.
Sure.
Maybe the best defenseman to ever play the game. He has that ceiling, you know, if he continues to go the right way. This is all great for the game. So I love where it's going. Love where it's going.
I've always said the NHL has been the coolest sport on earth that nobody wants to talk about. As a kid growing up in New York, and when the Rangers made that Stanley Cup run to beat play the Montreal Canadiens,
yes.
they lost in five games. There's one of the greatest dynasties ever have nobody talks about, the Islanders from 80 to 84.
Yep.
And that was the best thing about the Tampa Bay Lightning trying to make it a three-peat, because this has not been done in the NHL since the Islanders did that. If the Rangers or the Blackhawks or the Bruins had done that, they'd be 30 for 30s every damn day about those teams. But when you have two small market teams, especially when nothing else was going on last night, all of a sudden, Sunday night on ABC, one of the major networks, and people got a chance to see how cool this sport was. And then, to PK's point, at the end of the game, because the NHL does this better than anybody else, when they celebrate a championship, they know how to do it. Everybody has the Stanley Cup above their head. It looks like something out of X-Men when they win a championship. But they do it right. And then you have the players being interviewed. And you mentioned about Johnson and Adam Ocean. And Joe Sakic, Hall of Famer, putting this team together as a general manager. Everybody loves relatable stories. You could relate to that. And with so much going on in this country, it was really cool to see something good. After what's gone on in the United States, outside of sports, it was cool not to have to think for 3 hours plus last night. And you got a chance to see something and have that, see that reward, like you said, PK. This organization 5 years ago, they were the Golden State Warriors. 2 years ago, the Golden State Warriors had the worst record in the NBA, 15 wins. 2 years later, back in the championship. Colorado Avalanche, people said, what is this organization going to do? 5 years later, they win a Stanley Cup, and they got personable people. The NHL does it right, and the best part is people got a chance to see that, and it didn't matter that it was Denver versus Tampa Bay from a market standpoint. It was like, man, McKinnon, he's no joke. Boy, Kucherov, Vasilevsky, people got a chance to see those players play at an elite level.
These are household names now. You have people who can actually pronounce Vasilevsky.
And Kucherov.
But I will say this, and here's the big difference, okay? And this is what makes Colorado winning so special as a hockey player and someone that obviously is in the business every day, is this team was built through the draft.
Draft, yep.
That is difficult to do.
Mm-hmm.
To draft players, develop them, and then win. Okay? Colorado isn't the number one destination for free agency, okay? Where did Panarin go when he was a free agent? He went to the Rangers.
To New York, yep.
Right? So the Rangers, Leafs, all these original six teams, the big market teams, they get usually the first kick at the can of the free agents.
Right.
Colorado didn't have that luxury. That's what makes it special watching those interviews, is seeing the Nathan McKinnons, the Gabe Landeskogs, the Eric Johnsons,
absolutely.
The guys that have been there that stuck it out and waited it. You know, like Landeskog, 19, he was named captain of that team. You know, so he's been there for, I don't know, 10, 12 years. Like, so it's great to see that in the NHL. I hope that players are watching this now and understanding that to win, and you, when you're a free agent, it's not always about being in the top markets. Sometimes you have to look at those teams that have been building for a long time and give them an opportunity. And Colorado, to see them win based on the draft, that's what you want to see in hockey, because that's the way to win, I believe.
Yeah, real quick, Christine, Tampa Bay Lightning, six out of last 8 years in the conference finals. I mean,
all draft picks.
All draft picks, right. Even when they lost players, they were still able to replenish and stay the course and find a way to almost push it to a seventh game before losing last night in game six.
Four layers of playoffs, the salary cap, the expansion draft. I think it's remarkable that both teams got to this point.
And you mentioned that everybody in the NHL knows how to celebrate. Was that 2 years ago when Tampa Bay dented the Stanley Cup? Was that 2 years ago?
Oh, that the cup.
I can't wait to see what exactly happens.
Listen
with
to
the
me.
Abs.
If I win the cup, my career is over. So I don't know how long. I don't know how long that party's going to be. Or you know what I mean?
Well, thank God. Thank God you're here with us.
Yes.
Thanks, PK.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Deshaun Watson's hearing before the NFL and NFLPA's jointly appointed disciplinary officer. Sue L. Robinson is scheduled to begin on Tuesday, according to league sources. The NFL expects to push for a lengthy suspension for Watson while the NFLPA defends the Browns quarterback who is accused of harassing, assaulting, or touching 26 women during massage appointments when he was with the Houston Texans. The NFL hopes for clarity on this case before training camp begins in late July, but knowing that the future for another quarterback on the Browns roster, Baker Mayfield, is still uncertain. Jake Trotter said on SportsCenter that Jacoby Brissett would be next up on the depth chart if, in fact, Deshaun Watson is suspended, which means that Mayfield is not an option. You'll remember that Mayfield requested a trade from the Browns in March as Watson was acquired. So NFL front office insider Mike Tannenbaum is now joining us. I'm going to start with you, Mike, on this one. Which team should Baker Mayfield try, should he return to the Browns? Excuse me. Should Baker Mayfield return to the Browns?
100%. And a couple months ago, I thought it was crazy, guys, to even consider that. But this is the ultimate marriage of convenience. Assuming that Deshaun Watson is going to be ineligible for a significant period of time, they have a great team. Baker Mayfield needs them because that will enhance his ability to get a big contract next year. There are no better options. And if I'm the Browns, I know it's a tough pill to swallow, but what gives us the best chance to win this year? It's a combination of Mayfield and Jacoby Brissett, who's really better as a backup. So I know it's crazy. At first, I thought there was no way this could happen. But the more you think about it, logic does the work of reason sometimes. And this is really a win-win for both Baker Mayfield and the Browns.
Yeah, I mean, if you have, I agree with Mike in that sense, because if you have Baker Mayfield back in Cleveland, you don't have to change the offense. You can have him do what he did last season, so you're not having Jacoby Brissett run the offense that you'd be creating for Deshaun Watson. But I'm also a believer in reality, and I feel like that bridge has been not only incinerated, but all of, like, the little, like, wood particles that would be left over, those were also blown up. There's no repairing this, Christine, from the way that the Cleveland Browns handled his exit on the way out in pursuit of Deshaun Watson, and also the way that Baker Mayfield handled this with the letter that came out almost as like as a divorce note, you know, apologizing to the fans of Cleveland, realizing that his time was over there before it actually was. And, you know, he's got the leverage right now, $18.8 million on that fifth-year option. If I'm Baker Mayfield, I'm sitting tight until another team comes along, and it's not going to be the Cleveland Browns.
I would love for Baker Mayfield to return to Cleveland just so that Twitter could melt from that standpoint. I would love for that to happen. But if I'm Baker Mayfield, if they make that call, I'm going to click. There's no way I'm even thinking about returning to Cleveland Browns.
It's all toxic. You can't.
Well, not just toxic. I don't know if there's even a word for this. Because I know if I'm Baker Mayfield, Courtney and Mike and Christine, I'm saying, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You need me now because the guy that you want to pay $230-plus million in contract money is having all this situation, right, and he could be suspended a year by the NFL, and now you need me because at $18.8 million you can't move on from my contract? Let me think. Hell no. I'm not even returning the organization. Right. I never gave up on you. That would be my answer on Baker Mayfield. With all that happened last year, I never gave up on you. I went out there and played injured. I played hurt, even when guys didn't want to be with me. And then this is how you do me? At the end of the year, and yeah, I get it. In terms of quarterback, Deshaun Watson, in terms of talent, better quarterback than Baker Mayfield. But that's who you decide to align yourself with after I aligned myself with you and gave it up for you guys. They could call all day long, and there's no way if I'm Baker Mayfield, Mike and Courtney, that I'm returning to the Cleveland Browns. I don't care what they need or who they needed.
But, Freddie, I'm looking at it totally differently. If I'm Baker Mayfield, for me, being selfish, the best place for me in 2022 to make the most money for the next 10 years is in Cleveland. So I'm not going back to help you. I'm going back to help me, because $18 million should really be pocket change and the rounding error to what should be a $35 to $40 million contract as a free agent in 2023. And the best way for me, Baker Mayfield, to effectuate that is to play great football behind a great offensive line, two great backs, Amari Cooper. There's no place, be it Seattle or Carolina, that I could come close to really showing people what I can do. So I understand your points and they're fair, but I think it's actually the inverse. If I'm Baker Mayfield, going back to Cleveland is in my own best interest.
Yeah, I hear you. And in terms of that, Mike, from the standpoint of money and your career, absolutely. But, Mike, we know Baker Mayfield really well.
Right.
He believes he can win anywhere. You give him four people, he thinks he can go out there and take on the world, especially when, in my opinion, he may be the most motivated guy going into 2022 based on how the Cleveland Browns did him. So, in terms of that, you're exactly right. I'm just saying from the standpoint of Baker Mayfield, why would I want to go back to an organization that did me like that? It's in my best interest to look out for me, and I'm not going to have you do that for me or do that with me if you're Baker Mayfield.
Football's full of head games and full of ego. So, I mean, to be able to put all of that aside and say, cool, clean slate for everyone, Cleveland Browns and myself included, that's not realistic. That's not going to happen because, as we know, this Deshaun Watson stuff and whether he's suspended for an entire season or not, that's going to be hanging over the Browns franchise's entire year. Baker Mayfield's going to get asked 1,000 questions about Deshaun Watson and, oh, now you're back here, right, and how do you feel playing for a team that didn't want you the entire time? Mm-hmm. He's not going to handle that well. Realistically, would this be his best chance to set himself up like a second lease to go somewhere else?
Sure.
Yeah, because he knows the offense. He wouldn't have to start over. But Baker Mayfield's a competitor. Send him to Carolina, either via a release or if you force them into trading for him, and give him a chance to go prove that he can be that guy. The guy that he was when you drafted him, the guy that, you know, won you a playoff game, all the things that you thought Baker Mayfield could do. Now, if you light a fire under him, you know how competitive he's going to be, how much more locked in this year, and he's not going to be dealing with a shoulder injury. So, I mean, I think you get a different quarterback at that point.
I would say Seattle. I mean, Carolina, definitely. I mean, you have Sam Darnold, who Baker Mayfield can throw the ball better backwards than that guy can throw it forward when it comes to Carolina and Sam Darnold. But Seattle has an easier situation. Because all of a sudden, Drew Lock, everybody knows he's not the answer. You go to Baker Mayfield and you become the guy after Russell Wilson and you win in that city, you can do yourself a hell of a lot of favors because they don't know who. Right now, the Seattle starting quarterback for 2023 is not in their roster right now. You could be the starting quarterback in 2023 and 2022 if you're Seattle, if you get a chance to have Baker Mayfield. Go to your team with DK Metcalf, a top-flight wide receiver. You provide him with a running game a little bit. You're not asking to go out there and save the franchise. Just go out there and be Baker Mayfield that we saw at times before injuries and whatever happened in Cleveland kind of took that whole thing away.
Mike, I'm curious because go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, one fundamental point, I think – I would take Carolina over Seattle, but I think there's something very fundamental here, guys, which is it's almost July 1st, and he has to go learn a system. So, again, I understand he has a chip on his shoulder, but going back to Cleveland, you know the system, you know the players. If you get any place now going into training camp, you're going to be massively behind.
Mike, I'm curious. So if Baker decided to stay in Cleveland and then Deshaun Watson thing kind of figures itself out, what exactly would he do if Deshaun Watson comes back and is playing quarterback?
Well, first of all, I think it would look as a positive that he was a team guy. He went back to his organization, albeit under unique circumstances. And then I would play the long game, which is, hey, maybe I get traded at some point before the trading deadline. You know, some team may lose a quarterback. I'm young, I'm healthy, I'm productive. And I don't think there's any downside. And by the way, like, you are under contract, so you could be fined massively if you don't show up. So I don't think at the end of the day he really has many options. Obviously, a trade still could be in the cards, but beyond that, he's going to have to report for training camp.
The Cleveland Browns are the ones who I put more of the weight on to fix this situation, because you can effectively light the fire season on fire if you're going to start Jacoby Brissett in place of Deshaun Watson. So do everything you possibly can. Good luck to you if you're the Cleveland Browns to try to fix that thing. I just don't see it realistically happening, knowing who Baker Mayfield has been in his public persona and what we've
That's what I was going to say. I feel like Baker Mayfield has way too much of an ego to be like, and now I'm just going to go back to Cleveland Browns. Yeah, I don't think that's
Yeah.